Well, I think where we are now is that the dust is actually settling quite fast now. I think what we hear from both sides, both the ANC and the DA, is that they are now willing to talk about the different matters. What we have also seen is that the DA has now taken this matter to court. The EFF wants to also do the same. I think what is also now regarded as the next step is that there must be some more, after all the drama, that it's now necessary to come together with the ANC and the DA in order to reach a better understanding of where they stand in relation to each other within the government of national unity. There are different expectations. The ANC sees itself as the big party, the biggest, the leader of the government of national unity, and the one who dictates most of the work of the government of national unity. The DA, on the other hand, says there must be more power sharing. So this is going to be, I think, the focus from now onwards on how they are going to position themselves in relation to each other, as well as in relation to the other parties. Because, for example, in the statement of intent, there's a reference to the idea that when there's not consensus within the government of national unity, then they can do it through what they call sufficient consensus of 60%. And it's only the DA and the ANC that can reach the point of 60%. So that gives the two parties actually a special role within the government of national unity.
Yeah. I'm wondering then what you make of it from the perspective of those respective parties within the GNU. From the ANC's perspective, their constituents, their voters would be relatively satisfied with what they've been able to achieve and how they've been able to wield power and almost, you know, dictate terms to other parties within the GNU. On the flip side, the DA, of course, perhaps not having had as much success, but perhaps it puts them in an advantageous political position as we head into the municipal elections next year. What do you make of those respective parties and what their constituents and how their constituents are responding to what they've seen happening in the GNU?
Well, this is difficult to talk about or to generalize about this because there's certainly a difference of opinion within the different parties. Especially in the ANC, there looks to be a strong difference of opinion between those who are in favor of cooperating with the DA and those against it or who are very critical of it. In the DA itself, it looks to me there is more consensus that the majority of them, especially those in Parliament, the members of Parliament who are participating in the processes much more directly, that they are in favour of continuing with the government of national unity. They certainly see the advantages in it. It has been advantageous to the DA also in terms of public support. Their support has increased in terms of opinion polls. In the case of the ANC, it has either remained stagnant or in some cases it actually decreased. So I think this is the concern for the DA, for the ANC, is that other parties in the Patriotic Alliance is another example of it, is actually taking advantage of the government of national unity in the sense that the parties who participate in the government of national unity benefit from this. I think this is therefore for the ANC also a concern. So it's something which is, in my view, my interpretation is that this is ongoing growing pains for the government of national unity. And I put the argument forward that it's to a large extent what we are seeing now again. And it's not, I mean, we've seen it also with some of the other issues like the Bella Act specifically, that's because there was no time to negotiate, really all these relationships immediately after the election. There was just 2 weeks available for that. But in a sense, that process is now going through different means, through dealing with specific issues, or some would say even crises, in order to establish a more firm relationship between the different parties. Mm. I think this is what we are seeing now again. And with the budget, it is obviously such an important issue for any government that this is now the place where this has come to the fore, or as really a major issue to be resolved amongst all the parties.
Yeah. Ideologically, many naysayers of the GNU essentially commented at the establishment of it, saying ideologically the differences are too vast for them to be able to find consensus on. And those same naysayers are now saying, taking the budget as an example, you see, this is what we meant, that these political ideologies, being as different as it is, essentially means that there'll always be a stalemate. Do you think that's the case, Professor?
No, it's not. I think, you know, when people talk, for example, about grand coalitions, now this is in a sense a grand coalition when you look at it from an ideological point of view. Mm. It means it's two parties, the biggest parties, who come from different sides of the political spectrum, who have no choice but to work together. And that is exactly what this is. The same was the two terms during Angela Merkel in Germany, where the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats had to work together in a grand coalition. And it worked for two terms. So it's not that ideology is necessarily makes a coalition completely impossible to work. Mm. In the end, it's about the motivation of the participants. To what extent are they willing, or in some cases they have no other option than to work? And I think we are very close to that position in South Africa. The ANC actually has no, they have two other choices, and that is the EFF and MK. And for reasons of their own, at the moment, they are not willing to work with him. Mm. And that makes the DA almost the only option that they have.
Yeah. Professor, before I let you go this morning, I also just wanted to get your take on, of course, you touched on the dynamics within the ANC and the fact that there has been, quite a bit of disagreement and, I guess, contestation around whether or not the ANC should be in government with the Democratic Alliance. At some point before the end of the current parliamentary session, there will be an elective conference of the ANC. And I'm wondering, considering the current situation and the tensions that exist already, how that elective conference may, at this stage, impact on the functioning and on the longevity of the GNU?
Well, I think many people believe so. Well, first of all, it's not only the national conference. It is now, at the end of the year, is the National General Council of the ANC is also going to meet in December. And although it's not an elective conference, it's one where all these matters potentially can be discussed. But when it comes to the election, let's say, of the ANC's president, who must be the successor of President Ramaphosa, and given the examples of President Mbeki and Zuma, there's the expectation that President Ramaphosa then won't be able to complete his term as national president. The one thing one has to take into account is that when it comes to the election of the national president in parliament, they need a majority of the members. That means 201, not only an ordinary majority of those who are present. And the ANC doesn't have that. So for a new president, for the successor of President Ramaphosa to be elected, they need the support of, for argument's sake, then the DA. And so it means that whatever happens to President Ramaphosa between the ANC conference and the national election must be with the support of the parties in the government of national unity, like the DA. So it is not like in the past anymore. The ANC's decision alone, whether they can remove President Ramaphosa before the end of his term. And that's a new dynamics which I think not many people have thought about. But that sort of decision with that the ANC in the past always could do on their, take on their own doesn't exist anymore.